lift your voice in the spirit. Lift your voice. Praise you, Father. Enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Hallelujah. 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 I have news for you tonight. I have tested positive for righteousness. Anybody with me tonight? That's good, isn't it? That's good. And my wife prophesied over me and said, the more you pray in tongues in your service, the more healings you're going to see. So as I've been going into services, I've been praying more and more and more in the Spirit, and then stopping and praying in English and getting understanding. Hallelujah. Did I not say unto you that as you would pray in the Spirit, I would pour out my Spirit and bring more miracles? Praise God, praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. It destroys the yoke of bondage. Thank you for anointing your servant tonight. Someone who has a spot of pain just on the left side of your chest. You're being healed right now. And you've even said, it's just a little spot. Well, the Lord gave me that word for you. And whoever you are, if you just examine yourself, you're going to find that's gone. And there's another person already tonight. You have pain right here on the left side, low down on the left side, and you're being healed right now. When you sit down, it's a twinge. And that's being healed right now. And there's, okay, Lord, yeah, I'll do that. And at least 13 people are getting your backs healed right now. At least 13 of you. In fact, you can just start bending and moving your back right now. At least 13 being healed right now. And the left shoulder. Whoever you are, you have that problem, you're going to be able to raise your arm all the way up now. You'll be able to put it behind your neck. I don't know why you'd want to put it behind your neck, but you can. Hallelujah. Why not start out with healing? Why wait? Brother Copeland used to tell the story of one night in a service. He reached to pray for a woman who had a gallbladder problem. She said, oh, no, no, don't touch me. I'm saving that for Oral Roberts. Why wait? Why not just receive it now? Why not receive it now? Right now. The only unit of time that God recognizes is the now. That's why the book of Hebrews says, now faith is. Or we could say, faith is now. The only kind of faith that God recognizes is the now kind of faith. You know why? Because wherever you are, it's now. It's now. It's always going to be now. Right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. must be in Cedar Rapids. This beautiful spring day. It was so warm today, I nearly broke out the swimming suit. I mean, it was... Well, this is warm for you all this time of year. Lord, have mercy. And he usually does. Well, God bless you. You can be seated if you can. If you get up and run around, I will not hold it against you. Pastors Jay and Debbie, thank you for this invitation to come. My wife and I fell in love with this church. The first time I came, and the second time she came with me. And she asked me to greet all of you. And she's at home, and I thank God for her. She has a powerful ministry. And I thank God for her. I brought some of her books, which I'll be talking about later. She said, "Are you bringing my books too?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And those are the two words I usually get to say in all conversations. "Yes, ma'am." Any man who says he's boss at his house will lie about other things too. That woman thinks she runs my life. And she just about does. Irritates me that she's always right. This irritates me to no end. Are we online?
Yes,
we are. Oh my God. Take that off. I'm going to be good the rest of the night. Oh my. No. No, then she'll call me on the cell phone and say, "Why did you turn it off?" Dr. Jeff Ogle is traveling with me. He is the dean of my online school. We have 40,000 students. Stand up, Dr. Ogle. Give him a big welcome. He's a doctor, not the kind of doctor that can help you, but he's a doctor. So am I, but I don't have not the kind that can help you in that regard. I enjoyed college so much, I graduated 3 times to get it right. My bachelor's and my, Lord, I'll tell that story. Got my bachelor's and my master's, I got my doctorate. We're on the air one day, live, and I was describing, I know what you're thinking, Jeff, and we were live on the air that night, and I said, "I got my bachelor's degree." And I realized what I said. And I changed it to bachelor's real quickly. And the next day I get a call from Dr. Ogle, who was my dean of enrollment management when I was at the university. And he said, "You know, I've checked all the curriculum. I can't find a bachelor's degree anywhere." It's amazing what you say on television when you're under the anointing. Oh, boy. Well, anyway... I heard this story about this woman who bought a parrot, a female parrot, and the parrot talked. But all the parrot would say was, "Let's kiss, let's kiss, let's kiss, let's kiss." And she was so embarrassed that wherever she took the parrot, anybody came to her home, the bird just said, "Let's kiss, let's kiss." She was so embarrassed. She didn't know what to do, so she called her pastor. I said, "Pastor, I bought this bird, this female parrot, and she talks, but all she says is, 'Let's kiss, let's kiss, let's kiss.' I'm embarrassed." And he said, "Well, that's amazing. I just bought a male parrot. And all he says is, 'Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray.'" He said, "Maybe we should get them together." So he brought his parrot over and put him in the cage of the female parrot. And she began to say, "Let's kiss, let's kiss." And he said, "Praise God, my prayers are answered." You know, if you ever watch Joel Osteen, he always tells a story. Yeah. I called him and gave him that one. So if you heard him tell it, he got it from me. Oh, my. This woman died and went to heaven. And when she got to the gate, St. Peter met her. and said, "I'm glad you made it." And she said, "Well, I'm kind of surprised myself, but I'm, you know." And she said, "Well, what do I do?" He said, "Well, all you have to do is spell one word. If you can spell this word, you can get in." And she said, "What's the word?" And he said, "Love. If you can spell love, you can come through the gate." And she said, "Well, that's easy. L-O-V-E. He said, "Come on in." And she walked into the gate and she saw the magnificent beauty of heaven. He said to her, "Ma'am, I have some errands I need to run. Would you mind watching the gate for a while for me while I do these errands?" And she said, "Sure." He said, "What do I do?" She said, "Well, when people come up, just have them spell the word. And if they can spell it, then let them in." She said, "Fine." So people were coming and spelling the word and going in. And all of a sudden she looked up and there came her ex-husband. Oh. And she was shocked that he was there. And he was just as shocked that she was there. And he said to her, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, I'm just got up here and I came in and I did what Peter said. And he had some errands to run. He asked me to watch the gate." And he said, "Well, what do we do?" He said, "Well," or she said, "you have to be able to spell one word. And if you can spell the word, then you can come in." He said, "What's the word?" She said, "Czechoslovakia." Okay, it's going to be one of those kind of nights. Praise God. Open your Bibles tonight. I sent that to Joel, too. You'll probably tell it, but he got it from me. Turn over to James chapter 5. I think I told you the story when I was here before. I was on the platform in Jos, Nigeria, praying for people, and a young man was healed that night who'd never walked. He's 20 years of age and never walked in his life. His parents carried him to the post office where he begged for money. Everyone in town knew him as the beggar of Jos. And that night when I prayed for him, somebody answer that, please. Thank you. Reminds me to make sure mine's off. When I prayed for him that night, God healed him. And he came running up on the platform. And the next morning, the newspapers carried the story on the front page. Beggar of Jos healed. And the next night, 100,000 people filled that place. And 25,000 Muslims gave their hearts to the Lord. I believe in miracles. I was preaching in Accra, Ghana, and there were about 40,000 people on the last afternoon. And there was a woman in the crowd that everyone knew. She had been born with one breast. I didn't know this, but I was praying for people, and as I prayed, she came up on the platform crying, saying she had been healed and that God had created a second breast. I thought she was kidding until she lifted her dress and showed the entire 40,000 people. And I didn't know what to do. And the pastor said, "Everyone knows this is a creative miracle." I believe in miracles. I was preaching on TV one night, and the Lord said, "I'm growing out a man's toe. He's been amputated." And I got a call the next day from a man. I don't remember what state he was in, but he said, "When you said that, God began to grow a toe, a big toe. I'd had my toe amputated. I had only 9 toes. Now I've got 10. He said, "And God grew a nail with it." I believe in miracles. Been a lot of times in Africa over the years. I'm focusing on India now, and I'll share more about that a little later on. But I was in Niger, which is a 99.9% Muslim country. Out of 12 million people there, at that time, there were 3,000 Christians in the country. And we got an invitation to go in because we were taking in doctors and nurses and medicines and vitamins and food. That's how we got in. No one at that time had ever been allowed into Niger for a healing crusade. But they let me in because of the food. And the Muslim mullahs were on the radio preaching against me and saying, "Do not go to the crusade. There will be no miracles." Well, on the first night, there were 7 blind people that were healed. On the second night, there were as many deaf people that were healed. And cripples were walking, and they stopped talking about me. because they saw the miracle power of God. And during that week, 35,000 Muslims gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus. I believe in miracles. What is a miracle? A miracle is a supernatural intervention of God when nothing less will do. I believe in miracles. I stood by my father's side when I was a boy, watching him, listening to him, learning, not realizing that the day would come when I would be in the healing ministry. And he would turn to me and call me up on the platform and have me stand by him. And God was schooling me in those years, preparing me for what my life's work would be. And even during the years that I ran away from God, I knew that the day would come when I would change my life. And my heart's goal would change. And I would be called into the ministry. For I knew there was a call of God on me, on my life. And that was one of the reasons why I ran. I ran because I did not want to be a Christian. I did not want to go through the scrutiny and the pressure and the criticism and the lies and all the malignancies and things that were said and done against my father and against our family through the media. I did not want to experience that. And by some Christians as well. I didn't want that. I wanted to be a star. I wanted to sing and I wanted to perform. And I was given a contract in the lounges of the Sahara Hotel in Las Vegas at 19 to perform. But on the way to Las Vegas, I got saved and called into the ministry. And my father prophesied over me. And he said, I see you standing before kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers all over the world in great crowds and great crusades. And then in your later years, you begin to teach ministers of the gospel, pastors, on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. He laid all that out to me when I was 19. And it's taken a few years for that to happen. I just celebrated my 72nd birthday. But it's all happened. Every prophetic word has come into my life. I believe in healing. I believe in miracles. I traveled with Catherine Kuhlman. And on her grave, it says, Catherine Kuhlman, I believe in miracles. No birth date, no death date, just Catherine Kuhlman. K, two K's, spells it with a K. I believe in miracles. I've been to that graveside. In fact, my wife got down and laid on the grave. And the ground shook when she did. I believe in miracles. I grew up with T.L. Osborne. Spending countless hours with him in his office, learning how to minister in overseas nations, learning how to deal with governments, how to deal with the red tape that you face in many third world nations. Learning. And he taught me so much. I learned under Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin took me under his wing and taught me and poured into my life. John Osteen in Houston took me under his wing, Joel's dad, and taught me and trained me. And let me have his sermon material. I would preach it, never give John 1 ounce of credit. He would call me and say, Richard, stop stealing my sermons. And I said, well, you stole it from somebody else. I love John very much. But I thank God for the men and women who had a profound influence upon my life. Vicki Jameson had a profound influence on my life prophetically. Someone else, you have pain on the right side, you're being healed right now in Jesus' name. I didn't know much about the operation of the word of knowledge. I had learned through my father about the laying on of hands ministry. But he prophesied over me that my ministry would be different. That I predominantly would not lay hands on people, but that I would speak. And he said, there's going to come a power out of your voice and out of your chest. And when you speak, it will not be like other people speaking. And you're going to feel that tonight because that's been increasing. Especially since Lindsay, my wife, prophesied over me that as I prayed in tongues more and more, that power is going to strengthen and get stronger. And now I'm at the stage of my life where I am ministering more and more to pastors in underdeveloped nations. And I just got a testimony this last week. We've been four times now to India, and I've laid hands on nearly 5,000 Indian pastors individually and anointed them with oil and set them in a position where they can actually get government funding now because they get a certificate for those 3 days that I'm with them. And they can get, the government will fund them, help them with their ministry financially. I've never heard of a country doing that before. Can you imagine if that happened in the United States? The government actually gives them money if they attend one of my 3-day seminars. And teaching them, many of them had no clue that they could pray for the sick and see miracles. Many of them never prayed for the sick in their lives. Now they're seeing miracles. Just got a testimony this week from one of the pastors who had come to our healing school there and learned how to pray for the sick. And his entire church gathered around to lay hands on a woman who had gone blind because of diabetes and high blood pressure. And she had been blind for 3 months. And when they laid hands on her, suddenly her eyes were opened and she was completely healed. It has just shook the whole village. And that's what I'm doing now. And that's what I love doing. I love when God calls you into a new arena and gives you a different sphere of atmosphere. And now that my crusade days are over, you know, the crusade days, those are for younger men now. Okay. And then with a lot more strength to do those things. I did that for 40 years. I know what that's like. I've laid hands on 36 heads of state around the world. I've been there. I've done that and bought the video. But I thank God for a new era. And I'm still getting to come to some wonderful churches in the United States, like Spirit of Faith Family Church here in Cedar Rapids. And I thank God. I was tied up and pent up and tied down for 9 months. I was like a caged animal. My wife couldn't wait to get rid of me. For 9 months, I felt like I was pregnant and could never deliver the baby. 9 months I was not allowed to travel. I was supposed to be here and we had to cancel it. And I was supposed to be in a number of other places. And we had to cancel one trip to India and we've rescheduled it now for this year. And had to cancel a trip to West Africa to 2,000 French speaking pastors. And we've rescheduled that now for this summer. And I'm back out on the field again since January. I am so tired of masks. I'm not being critical. I'm just tired of them. The worst part about it is it smells. It smells like me. I'm getting new ones all the time, you know. Lindsay said, are you going to change that? Yeah, after a few more weeks, I'll change it. Don't like to wear masks, but you know it's the rule. So you do what you need to do and what you're required to do. You know, you're required to follow the laws of man. But I don't like to wear masks, and I don't have one on tonight. And I noticed that most of you don't either. Hallelujah! Praise God! I believe in miracles. And I've seen great miracles all of my life. In Niger, after we closed, the Muslim president in whose home I visited and laid hands on his wife who'd had a stroke, the Muslim president called Muammar Gaddafi, who was still living at that time, and he came from Libya, and they had a Muslim healing crusade. And some of the pastors went to it, and they said in 3 days there was not one miracle. And I said, well, looking to the wrong source. Amen. Looking to Jesus. Amen. So I've been around the block a time or two. I know who I am. I know what I'm called to do. I know what I'm called to be. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And that includes you and me. Open your Bibles to James chapter 5. I'm not going to preach long because of Hezekiah 2:6, which says, he who speaketh short shall be invited again. Beginning at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There are three specific prayers in this passage. And the Lord dropped this into my heart a week or two ago. And I preached it on television. Was it last week, a week before last? I preached on this subject on television, which will be seen next month. The Lord showed me three specific things. You might want to get a pen and something to write on and take some notes tonight. This is not going to be anything revelationary to you or revolutionary. It's going to be what you already know, but it is going to solidify it in your spirit, okay? So I pray that you get something out of this. Let's take this apart. Notice that in verse 13 it says, is any among you afflicted? Now I want you to notice that there is a difference between afflicted and sickness. First he said, is any among you afflicted? What is affliction? Affliction has to do with pain. Some type of pain. We're not talking about sickness and disease, because he makes it clear in the next passage. He said, is any among you afflicted? Are you afflicted in some way, financially? Are you afflicted spiritually? Are you afflicted in some other area of your body? Are you afflicted? That's what he's talking about. And he gives you the antidote. He says, let him, and the understood part of that sentence is, let him, let her who is afflicted, let that person pray. We have a tendency as Christians to want someone else to do our praying for us. But he said, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Let the person who is afflicted pray. Prayer is the key that unlocks the throne of God's mercy. Yes. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. If you want power in your life, you have to be a man or a woman of prayer. Prayer is the key that unlocks the throne of God's mercy. I grew up in a praying family. My mother said to me, son, you'll never get away from my prayers. And no matter where I went, and I went some places, no matter what I did, and I did some things, no matter what I said, and I said some things, believe me, I could not get away from her prayers. Prayer is essential in your life. Yes. And if you are not a person of prayer, you are missing so much in your life. Yes. But there are times when English or your natural language, if you were born outside of America, just doesn't cut it. There are times when your prayers seem to hit the ceiling and bounce back in your face. And what do you do when that happens? That's when you break out into tongues. That's what tongues are for. Tongues are to pray when you run out of things to say. When you don't know what to pray, you don't know how to pray. When your prayers seem to bounce back in your face, that's when you pray in tongues. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so essential in a Christian's life. Am I going to miss heaven if I don't speak in tongues? No. No, not at all. But you're not going to have as effective a prayer life as you can have.
That's right.
Praying in tongues is a Christian's secret weapon. You and I were talking about that yesterday. It's your secret weapon, but But if all you do is just pray in tongues and you don't do what the Apostle Paul taught and interpret, then you've only got half a loaf.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't stop and interpret like Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians 14, then you don't have all that you need. Because he said, let him or her who prays in an unknown tongue pray that they may interpret.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, if he said pray that you may interpret, that indicates that you can interpret it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes.
That when you pray in tongues and you stop and you begin to pray in your own language, you get understanding that you didn't have before.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And the world cannot do that.
That's right.
But you and I as believers can.
Amen.
It is the most valuable thing in my life. Being able to pray in tongues and then stop and pray with the understanding also. Because I'm just not that smart. I need help.
Yes.
And that's why I think the Apostle Paul said in our own language, is what he was intending to say, that we know not what to pray for as we ought. We ought to know, but we don't. Because we're human beings. Now we see through a glass darkly. We don't understand it all. We don't have understanding. Things happen.
Yes.
Probably some of you had some things that happened today. And some others, you may have some things that happen tomorrow. Because we live in a real world. And things happen. And not all things are good. And you've got to find your way to circumvent all of that. And how do you do it? You do it by praying in tongues. And then stopping and praying in your own language. He said, is any of you afflicted? Let him pray. Your first responsibility is to be a person of prayer. And that's why the gathering of yourself here is so critically important. The apostle said, for forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. And we're facing a situation right now in America. I saw a news report on it just the other day. That many people have been online so long watching church that they're not wanting to come back into their buildings. Even where now they're being allowed to come back in. We cannot allow that to pervade in this country. We must not allow that to happen. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which is the manner of some. Okay? That's why your coming together is so critically important. And to come together almost full on a Friday night. When I'm sure there are a lot of other things that you could be doing. You know? Well, you could. But yet here you are. And you came out Friday night because I'm here. Well, thank God. So your first responsibility is to be a person of prayer. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Now, it also says, is any of you merry? Happy? Joy of the Lord. Let him sing. Hymns. Let him worship. Like we did tonight. I was looking around the room. You may have seen me. I was looking to see who was worshiping and who wasn't. I was taking names. I looked over here. I was watching you, and I turned around. I watched you all back here, and I watched a couple of people yawning. You know, and I was watching. I'm always watching. I may not look like I'm watching, but I'm watching. My mother said she was always watching. And I was convinced she had eyes in the back of her head.
Yeah.
In the kitchen, she'd say, I see you. And she's looking at the stove.
Yeah.
I didn't realize my reflection was in the mirror of the stove. And she could actually see me. That's why worship is so important. And in so many places I go, the worship is just pathetic. Just some places, just to have to get up and preach after that, it's like digging out of a hole. And I experienced that so many times with my dad, because he would say to me, I'm going to preach such and such a place, and you're going with me. I said, I am. He said, yes, you are. He said, because their music is going to make me sick. And he said, so I'm going to have you sing right before I preach, so I don't have to dig myself out of a hole. I said, I've got to sing myself out of one, but you don't have to dig yourself out of one. I was his guinea pig for years. And we go places, and you know, they've got their hymnal out, and they have to do this whole thing, and you know. You know, Dominos, Nabisco, shredded Wheatos, you know. I don't think God's too impressed with that. But when you open up and worship like you did tonight.
Come on.
Yes, amen.
When you're not singing from here, you're singing from here. And you can feel the presence of God. After that, if you can't preach, you're not anointed. And you're not called. If you can't preach after what was up here before me. And a pastor who stands up there and talks, and you can feel the presence of God coming out of him as he talks. It sets the table. That's why worship is so critically important. And I've learned that more and more and more as the older I've got, how important worship is. And I thank God for that. And I feel that when I come here. I feel the presence of God when I walk in the room. And I thank God for that. Is any among you merry? Let him sing. Praise God. I love to sing. I don't sing much anymore, but I love to sing. Something special. My father used to say, a song is a sermon that can never be preached. And he had me sing before he preached for many, many years all over the world. And I thank God that I got to be a table setter. You know, preparing the way. What did John the Baptist say? Someone is coming behind me. And that's what I was saying. Someone's coming behind me. Then he said, is any among you sick? See the difference between afflicted and sick?
Yes.
Is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders. Let them call for those who have an anointing in the healing ministry. Mm-hmm. Let the ones who have the power of God call them. But your first responsibility is to pray yourself. Yeah. Then you call for those who have a special anointing, a special operation of the gifts of the Spirit in their life. And that's someone like me. Now, I'm just one of the many. There are many, many men and women who have a special anointing and call to minister to the sick. And wherever I go, that's what I'm called on to do. I get calls, I get emails, I get text messages, I get word through the Abundant Life prayer group where we still get up to 2,000 phone calls a day. For prayer. I got one today through Dr. Ogle of a person who was very, very ill, and we called and prayed. And no matter where I am in the world, and I'm not too busy to stop and pray. Okay? I learned that from my father. I'm not too busy to stop and pray. It's the most important thing that I do. He said, call for the elders of the church. Call for those who have a special anointing. And that's very, very critical and important that we do that. And I think that's, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I think that's one of the main reasons why Pastor Jay has asked me to come. Because he knows that I have an anointing for that kind of ministry. So he has done what the scripture said. He has called for those, for someone who has that kind of anointing. So first he said, pray yourself. Second, he said, call for someone to pray for you. Okay? Because sometimes you're not in a position to pray for yourself. Sometimes you need an outsider to come in. One of the difficulties I've had in my life is praying for people who are wheelchair bound because they're down. Not only down physically, but they're down emotionally. They're down. They're down in their spirit. And it takes a lot to get someone up. And oftentimes I have to use commands to help people. And remember, Jesus did that. He saw the man at the pool of Bethesda who had been there for 38 years, waiting for the troubling of the water, when an angel would come and stir the water, and whoever got in first would be healed. That man had been there 38 years. Well, he was down. He'd been down a long time. He'd been down so long that getting up had not even crossed his mind. And what did Jesus say? Rise. Take up your bed and walk. He didn't listen to his excuse. I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. And that's what we do. We blame it on somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. And Jesus didn't listen to that. He said, no, rise. Take up your bed and walk. Rise. Rise up on the inside. You'll never get up on the outside till you first get up on the inside. My body is not going to just exclusively rise up until my spirit man speaks to it and says, get up. I'm not going to get out of bed. My body is not going to automatically get out of bed until I, on the inside, say, body, get up. You're not going to get out of that chair until your spirit man says, get up. Or your pastor says, get up. It's difficult sometimes. I probably told you this story when I was here before, but it bears repeating at this point. Lindsay and I were in Brother Charles Blair's church in Denver. And Brother Blair was a very close personal friend to our family. Wonderful church, Calvary Temple in Denver. And there was a woman that they had brought down to the front row who was in a wheelchair. And you could just see her. She was down. And I was praying for people from the platform as I normally do. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, if all you can do is move one finger, move it. Now, to some, I'm sure they thought I was being cruel. But I watched her as she just sat there and she started moving one finger. Mm-hmm. And I prayed for others and I looked back and she was moving her arms.
Praise God.
And I prayed for some others and I watched her and she was kicking her legs. And pretty soon there was a shout over on that side of the church and I looked up and the wheelchair was empty.
All right.
And she was walking. I had to tell her to get her faith moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And people will say, well, no, if God wants to do it, he'll just do it sovereignly. Well, he's certainly capable of doing it sovereignly. But most of my experience is faith mixed with that sovereignty brings miracles.
Yes.
Without God, I cannot, but without me, most of the time, he will not.
Yes.
He wants me to participate in the miracle.
Yes.
That's why he said to the two blind men in Matthew 9, do you believe that I can do this? Well, I'll just sit here until God does something. Well, I think you're going to wind up just sitting there.
Yeah.
Let them call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over them, anointing them with oil. These ministers that are coming to these conferences in India, after the sessions, after the days of the sessions, and after I give them a tablet, which is a little smaller than this one you've got, Pastor Debbie. It's about a 9-inch tablet, which has 20,000 pages of resources from our ministry. Once I've given that to them, and they have that as a gift to go back to their village or wherever they're from, because it has no internet, because they are from areas where there's no internet. So all the information is on chips, which they plug in, and then it comes alive. Can't make any cell calls, can't get internet, no Wi-Fi. It's just simply a tool for them to take those resources and use them. So after we do that, then I lay hands on them and then I anoint each one individually with oil. It takes a long time, but it's worth every second. And that's what the scripture says. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, the Bible says, shall save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. And then there's one more prayer. The last prayer is, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. Now that's an unusual prayer because I thought it said, pray that they may be healed. Well, obviously you're praying believing for that person to be healed, but that's not what the scripture says. Pray one for another that you may be healed. In other words, your prayer that you pray for them boomerangs. It's a double whammy. It's a double decker. You're praying for that person to be healed so that healing then can come back to you. And I've seen so many miracles happen when people pray one for another. Because when someone prays for someone else, temporarily, they forget about their own problem. And they focus in on the other person's need. And while they're focusing in, God is bringing that healing back. I've had people who have gone and prayed, who've been diagnosed with cancer, who have gone and prayed for others, and God has healed their cancer. Because they prayed for others. So three specific prayers that the Apostle James is telling us about. First, we pray ourselves. Secondly, we call for someone to pray. And third, we pray one for another. Now, my friend, that's powerful. Then it closes with this: the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, what does that mean? That means the heartfelt prayer of a person who's in right relationship with God does a whole bunch. Let me say that again. That means the heartfelt prayers of a person who's in right relationship with God does a whole bunch. You don't hear much talk today about righteousness, because people have a tendency to think you're talking about being self-righteous. But that's not what I'm talking about. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is just simply believing God. Abraham believed God, and he was called righteous. Therefore, if you and I believe God, we are righteous. And I told you at the beginning, today I tested positive for righteousness. Because I believe God. I believe there is nothing too hard for Him. I believe that my God can do anything. And I'm hooking my star to that wagon. I'm hooking my life onto His tail of His robe. And I'm holding on. And I'm not going to let go. And I don't care what demon, what devil comes out of the woodwork. He's not going to defeat me, because I have the name of Jesus. I have the most powerful force that exists. I have the name of Jesus, for God has given Him a name which is above every name named in heaven and earth. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I have that. You come too late to tell me miracles don't happen.
Come on.
Because I'm seeing them every day. And I praise God for it. And the more I see, the younger I feel. The more I experience, the stronger I get. And the more I pray in tongues, the more I feel like I can fly. And I've just decided I'm not going to be defeated.
Amen.
I'm not being arrogant. No. By faith. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to do everything God's told me to do. Money? What's that? Money is like a walking stick. Money just helps you get where you need to go. You just obey God. And you plant your seed. And watch the money follow you. That's what the Bible teaches.
Yes, sir.
You plant your seed and expect Him to open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing so much so there's not enough room to receive it. He rebukes the devourer for your sake. And what He calls you to do, He finances. How? I don't know how. How's He going to do it? I don't know how. I don't care how He does it. It's not my business. I'm in sales. I am not in management. I don't have to be so doggone analytical. I don't have to try to figure God out. I don't have to lay awake at night wondering how in the world He's going to move the decimal points. I don't have to worry about that. It's not my problem. That's why I can sleep at night. That's why I can rest at night. Because it's His problem. If I do my part, He's obligated to watch over His word, to perform it. He has no choice. Stay on in Jesus' name. Are you still glad you came?
Yes, sir.
Are you getting anything?
Yes, sir.
I'm giving you everything I got tonight. I've been stoking up for you. I've been waiting on this for a while. Thank God in January, my wife let me out of the house. She said, you can start traveling again. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I've been traveling since January again. Because it's what I do.
Amen.
Ouch. And you know what? I love to have a good time.
Amen.
I really do.
Amen.
I like to have a good time. I like to talk straight.
Yes, sir.
That's how I was raised. But I like to tell the truth. Thank God. He said, you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know. Truth isn't going to set you free all by yourself. It's got to be the truth that you know. You've got to know the truth. You can't just say the truth will set me free. That's not right. The truth that you know. That you know. That you know. How do you know? Because you just know. That you know. That you know. You just know. You just know. It gets down into your knower. And suddenly you know. And when you know, nobody can talk you out of it. When you don't know, they can talk you out of it. They can give you all kinds of formulas of how it won't work. It's like the bumblebee. Science says that it is scientifically impossible for a bumblebee to fly. Its body is too big for its wingspan. But nobody told the bumblebee. He just flies anyway and makes some honey on the way. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you merry? Sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick person. Jerry Seville told me a story. He said he was showing his 1957 classic Bel Air Chevrolet at a car show. Red with that Naga, red and white, Naga hide, I guess they call it red and white interior. Classic. He won a lot of shows with it over the years. The guy came up to him, recognized him, and said, Brother Jerry, I need you to pray for me. I have cancer. He said, I've seen you at these shows before, but now I've got cancer, I need you to pray for me. Jerry said, sure. So he reached to pray for him, and the Lord said, anoint him with oil. Jerry didn't have any oil. The hood was up on the car. Reached in, pulled out the dipstick. Ran his fingers down it. Put it back in, anointed the man. Next car show, the man was there, completely healed of cancer. Anointing them with oil. You can use 10W30. In the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. Notice it says the prayer of faith. Not the prayer that says, God, if it be your will. That's not the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of excuse. That's the prayer that if this doesn't work, I'm off the hook. And the prayer of faith, the kind of prayer that believes, it's a follow-through prayer. The prayer of faith shall save the sick person. And the Lord will raise them up. And if he has committed sins, they'll be forgiven. David was chief among the sinners. He said it himself. He said, God, check me out every day. See if there's something in me. I mean, David made mistakes. He committed sin. He got in all kinds of stuff. We all know his story. We'll have to rehearse it. And yet God called him a man after his own heart. How could David have done so many horrible things and be a man after God's own heart? I'll tell you why. Because every time he got in trouble, he repented. Aren't you glad for repentance?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I don't want to pray for him. He has made too many mistakes. Who died and made you God? My Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. By the way, did I tell you I tested positive for righteousness?
Yes, sir.
And if he has committed sins, they'll be forgiven. And pray one for another so that you may be healed. You're praying for their healing, but that healing boomerangs and comes back to you. And the effectual, fervent prayer, the heartfelt prayer of a person who's in right relationship with God, does a whole bunch. Let's all stand together for a minute. Let's act out this scripture. First, let's all begin to pray ourselves. Just as you feel led of the Lord. Just begin to pray. You pray. Think for a moment about what the devil has tried to afflict you with. I'm not talking about sickness now. I'm talking about something that's caused soreness or pain. And it could be emotional. It could be in some other area of your life. I'm not talking about sickness or disease. Begin to pray right now. Let's act this scripture out. Let's have a dramatization of this scripture. Just lift your voice now. Corporate prayer. When people join together. When Peter was in prison, there was corporate prayer going on. And an angel came and smote him on the shoulder. And the chains fell off and he was released. It happened because of corporate prayer. And when Paul was stoned and left for dead, they gathered around and they prayed. It was corporate prayer. And God raised him up and went to the next town. Lift your voice. You pray. Don't expect someone else to do your praying for you. You pray. That's your first responsibility. Out of the depths of your belly flows rivers of living water. And when he said that, he was speaking of the Holy Ghost. Praise you, Father. Just lift your voice.
I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary.
Any among you marry? Let him sing. I love him. I love him. Lift your hands.
Because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. And purchased my salvation on Calvary.
So you can sing that with the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Then he said, is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders. Let them call for those who have an anointing in the healing ministry. So stretch out your hand toward me. Father, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit that I pray this prayer tonight. Power! Power! His power is flowing right now through me and into you, bringing healing and bringing deliverance. You foul, tormenting, demonic spirit, I lift you up and out. You take your hands off of God's property and you loose every man, every woman, every young person here tonight. For we do not belong to you. We belong to God. We were paid for by the shed blood of Jesus. And so I pray that prayer over you. That prayer of faith. And I expect the Lord to raise you up. And by faith, I anoint you tonight. I anoint you by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And now, the third part of it. Turn and face someone. And let's pray one for another, believing that as you pray for them to be healed, that healing is going to come back to you. Just begin to pray. Get out of yourself for a moment. And find someone and pray over them. Tell the devil to take his hands off of their lives. Command sickness and disease to come out. Rebuke anything that's not of God. Tell the devil to take his filthy, rotten, dirty, stinking hands off. Kastiana nakasumbra kasa. Meshabra kasianda kasiyasa. Thank you, Father. 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 Lord, we lay hands on this man. We lay hands on this woman. We bind the devil. Command him to take his hands off. Every sickness, every pain, every affliction, come out. By the stripes on Jesus' back. Hallelujah. 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 How many tonight feel a touch of healing on you? Lift your hand. Touch of healing on you. Lift your hands. You can tell something's changing. Wave your hand up. Look at that. What you were expecting? Did he not say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much? You know, I like to act out the Bible. I like to act it out. Put it into practice. It's great to read it, great to study it, great to preach on it. But let there be a confirmation. You know? I like that. Demonstrate.
Yes, sir.
Jesus had demonstrations.
Yes.
He would preach and then, wham, somebody get healed.
Yes.
There was the confirmation.
Yes.
There are a lot of people in those days whose name was Jesus.
Yes.
There's only one Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
They distinguished between Jesus.
Yes.
A Hispanic man was a waiter at our table one night. He said, "My name is Jesus," which is Jesus in Spanish. And I said, "Hello, Jesus." I said, "I know Jesus, but I know Jesus of Nazareth." I said, are you from Nazareth? He said, no, I'm from Mexico. He had miracles. And that's what set him apart. And he told us, preach, teach, and bring healing. That's the full gospel. Preaching, teaching, and the healing ministry of Jesus. Praise God. You still glad you came tonight? Well, be seated for just a moment. I brought some resources for you. They're somewhere in the building, I think, over there. And I will be honored to step over there after the service and autograph them if you'd like. I could even be twisted to autograph my wife's books. But I will not sign her name. I'll sign my own name. There's a limit to what I will do. But they're available over there. This is Lindsay's book, A Cry for Miracles. And the Lord said to her, it's all right to cry as long as your cry is for a miracle. That's this book. And then this is the biggest book I've ever written, Your Road to a Better Life. And it's available over there. And there is Lindsay's book, Read. This, I think this is her newest one. Yes. Read, Pray, and Then Obey. Volume 2 is the newest one. And this came from Dr. Youngi Cho. I serve on Dr. Cho's International Church Growth Board. Every other year, we are in Korea with him in the largest church in the world, 800,000 members, the largest church in the world. And Dr. Cho was asked one day how he was able to do what he does. And he said, I read, I pray, and then I obey. And that's the title of this book. And that's Lindsay's. And then my book, probably the most popular book I ever wrote, is called He's a Healing Jesus. And that picture on the front is a little girl that God healed in the Ivory Coast. And she came up and grabbed me and hugged me, a little Muslim girl that gave her heart to the Lord and was healed by the power of God that night. And then this is about the Holy Spirit, the unlimited power within you. Speaking of your secret weapon, that's over there. And then little mini books, The Pursuit of Peace, and what the Bible really says about prosperity. Not what the media says. The Bible says. And then Lindsay's little book, Crazy Amazing Miracles. So it's all available over there. And after a while, when Pastor's ready, I'll go over there. I'll autograph them if you want. Okay? I'm left-handed, so I'll sign it that way. But I will not sign my wife's name. Don't ask me to sign her name. Because when I write in tongues anyway, and you have to have interpretation to read my writing anyway. So I'm looking forward to the rest of this weekend. This is my theme. I'm going to be ministering in this fashion all weekend long. Now ask me what I'm going to do tomorrow night. Ask me. I don't have a clue. I didn't know what I was going to do tonight until 4:00. So I haven't even thought about tomorrow. You know, he said live one day at a time. So that's what I do. But tomorrow, I know tomorrow night, yes, sir. I know, but I'm going to stay on this theme, okay?